I speak to you in the name of God, who comes again and again to us as divine mystery, gracious and loving Savior, ever strengthening Spirit. As it reads on the cover of today's Blue Christmas Service Bulletin, the Blue Christmas Service is a time when we, in the company of others, can acknowledge the blue feelings we may have at Christmas time, the reasons for them, and offer them to God. This time has been called the long night of the soul, when memories of the past and the pain of the present can become overwhelming. For some, Christmas Day is the most difficult. For others, Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve, or even the whole Advent season, or the beginning of another lonely, isolated year. In this service, we pray that the music chosen helps us to recognize that this is not a season of joy for everyone, especially in this coronavirus year of so much loss, illness, fear, pain, struggle, and challenge. We usually offer this service on a weeknight just before Christmas. And this year, I thought we could all benefit from its enfolding and uplifting grace. I know I can. Two of the cathedral staff, Annette and Robert, and I spent many hours in the cathedral chancel and altar area on Wednesday decorating for the Christmas Eve service, which was recorded that evening. I so wanted you and all who join us for worship to see and feel the abundant love of God in the beauty of our beloved cathedral, if even virtually. My friends, it is stunning. The beautiful lit trees, tiny little trees that are live, and giant poinsettias point us inward to that place where God's incarnate love comes again. All of those things are just outward signs of this inward grace, this sacrament that will come to us at Christmas. Now, it's probably a challenge for all of us this year to keep the merry in Christmas. And for so many of us, this time of year, winter, Advent, and Christmas, brings pain, sadness, hurt, loss of all sorts, and reminders that life has brought us to tears more than once this year. As I moved the Advent wreath on Wednesday, I felt the quick stab of the branches, that even before we have come to this fourth week of Advent, the branches, once lush, tender, and green, are already brittle, prickly, and brown. Our lives feel a little bit that way too along the way. Winter comes, most of the blooms that reminded us of new life at Easter and through the marvelous spring and summer have now withered, appearing as sprigs of dried sticks above the ground. And yet below them, in the dark earth, new life is growing, just as Mary, the young mother bearing the babe the whole world awaited then and awaits now, was gestating our hope. I have been prayerfully pondering our Advent language of light and darkness much more deeply this Advent. The simplistic light is good and dark is bad just doesn't resonate for me anymore. In fact, I have come to see that it can be another piece of our common language that is part of the larger issue of how our language can be an unrecognized part of the perpetuation of racism in everyday life. Light is good, white is good, dark is bad, black and brown is bad. It stops me in my track these days as I examine my own accountability in perpetuating racism. In my preparations for worship this week, I reread the Advent word reflection on the word go. The reflection was written by Miriam McKenney, who is Forward Movement's Director of Development and Mission Engagement. She serves on the Episcopal Church's Way of Love Working Group and is the youth minister at Calvary Episcopal Church in Cincinnati. it touched me profoundly, and I went back to it over and over. So I want to offer it to you this morning. She writes, "The seven practices of the way of love interconnect often. And when it comes to the practice go, we often use words, go and preach, go and serve, go and listen, go get help, go and heal, go and worship, go and pray. In our walks of faith following Jesus, we must find the courage to go beyond our comfortable communities and companions into unknown places and spaces. Doing that work takes practice. And I don't know many people who thrive when thrust continuously into unfamiliar situations. As we go down the road to Bethlehem with Mary this Advent season, what looks and sounds different? What do you see and hear that is the same as you remember? Many of us have had to change how we go in our daily lives. And some of us don't do much going at all as we stay sheltered for our safety and the safety of others. And for some of us, we are on a spiritual journey, or as author and social justice advocate Dr. Catherine Meeks calls it, a journey to the heart. And as we go within, we encounter darkness and light, lightness and dark, just as Mary and Jesus do as her time to deliver draws near. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light. Lightness and darkness elicit positive and negative characteristics. In our society, we can attach singular definitions to one or the other, such as the extreme simplistic approach of light is good and dark is bad. We've all seen how that narrow thinking plays out, and we can go deeper. A baby thrives in the darkness of its mother's womb. In darkness, it receives everything that it needs. We grow and thrive in the dark, like seeds sown into the good earth. In my heart's journey this Advent, I'm crossing the boundary that says light and dark is black and white. When God chose to bring the light of the world to the earth on a night in Bethlehem from Mary's womb, God makes it clear that dark and light cannot exist without each other. Too much of one and not enough of the other withers and destroys. Going deeper into our hearts might find us needing to shine a light on unseen and unknown recesses. We can only do this after we take some time to adjust our vision to the dark, to see what our heart has hidden, so that when the lights come on and temporarily blind us, we remember where to look. My heart journey this Advent finds me seeking a baby born into darkness, who brings us great light and new life. Baby Jesus will soon be here, even in this time that feels so full of challenge, loss, isolation, sadness, and pain. But here he will come for all of us to hold in our hearts and love out loud, which is what healing, hope, and justice look like. And we will bind him to us to go and share this good news. We will share it in our own lives to remind us that we are loved and that we have this community of faith to walk with us. We will share it in our homes, in our communities, and out beyond us, where so much brokenness awaits God's unfathomable and outrageous love for each one of us, wherever we are on the journey, whatever we struggle with. This time of year brings the feeling of the blues to many, and this year to many, many more. I pray we can hear the words in scripture, prayer, and song that remind us that we are each loved with an outrageous love, always and forever. I pray that this love will help us to see the promise of new life and healing hope gestating in the dark, so that as God comes once again to dwell within us, we can adjust to the light that through the gift of darkness brings hope, salvation, and joy to us and through us to the world. I want to end with this prayerful thought from Amy Jo Levine. Salvation means that there is respite from whatever oppresses in the person or community that hears and lives the gospel. Siblings of humanity all come together to say, in our midst, we have a Savior. For Jesus, the Savior, and for the good news to function as our salvation, the gospel says that we do not need to wait until some far-flung future, because we can see it in the present, and we can anticipate it tomorrow. My dear friends, siblings in Christ, God is with you now and always, surrounding you with unfathomable love. Amen.